In this week's Parsha, one of the many fascinating stories is the fight between Avraham and Lot. And Avraham says to Lot, and they separate. And why do they separate? Because there was not enough pasture land. There was a fight between their shepherds. And the Canaanim and the Prizim, these various Goyish nations, were then living in the land. Okay, what's the connection between Avram's fight in Lot over not enough pasture and the fact that the Canaanim and the Prizim were in the land? So Rashi says it has to do with the tainas between them. Right, what was the fight? The fight was that Lot said that I'm the Yoresh of Avraham, and Avraham owns the land, so therefore I can steal from the Goyim here, and I can let my animals graze in their field. And Avraham answered back, HaKanani v'aprizi ozio shebaris, that now, for this time period, Hashem gave the land to the Canaanim, only later he promised it to the Jews, so it's now belong to them. It's also to steal the grass from them. Okay, so under Rashi, it had to do with the halachic legal machlokis between them. Okay, the Ramban takes a more, perhaps, pashut approach and says, the Kananiv HaPrizi Ozio Shebaaretz, he hints also that perhaps that's the reason there wasn't so much pasture. After all, there were a lot of nations there, so there wasn't a lot of space for everyone, and even more so, they were afraid. What's so bad about a fight? Not only if there's a fight, would it lead to bad relations between them, but you know, if the other nations hear them fighting, they could come in and take advantage, and maybe they'll wipe them both out. And when they become so visible and they make so much trouble, they get in trouble. The Kananim and the Prizim are more powerful than them, and they had to be afraid and keep a low profile in order to avoid being in danger of attack. However, the Netziv here, and Sforno says something similar, the Netziv here has a beautiful pshat, where he says, yes, they were afraid of the Canaanim in the prison. They're afraid of the Goyim seeing the fight between them, but why? Not just because there was a lot of pasture and everyone was competing and they didn't want to perhaps get into competition and fights with the more powerful nations, but because of Chilul Hashem. The Canaanim and Prizim are here and they're watching what we do, said Avraham. They're watching what we do because they know that I stand for Torah, that I stand for belief in one God, for Avodas Hashem. They know I stand for something religious. They're watching what I do. And what happens? Our shepherds are fighting. What happens when the shepherds fight? They start talking not nicely. They use improper language. They use violence against each other. They really act in an uncivilized, improper, undignified fashion. And Avram said, Tainach, he says, you know what? I don't want to separate from you, Lot. You're my nephew. I wouldn't want to give you up. I wouldn't want to separate. If it was just a matter of pasture, I would say I'm mivater. If it was just a matter of fights, I'd say I'll live with the fights. I'm willing to live with fights. I'm willing to live with competition for resources. I'm willing to live with tsaros in order to keep us together. But the one thing I'm not willing to live with is Chilul Hashem, he says, because the Canaanim and Prizim are right here watching, and they know I stand for Avodas Hashem. I stand for Torah. And if they see it's my people, my shepherds, using bad language and hitting each other and fighting and acting improperly, they'll say that's what the Torah means. That's what Avodas Hashem means. It means bad behavior. And that Chilul Hashem I can't stand, because when the Goyim are watching, someone's watching. And when someone's watching, we have to live up to the highest standards of behavior, especially Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, in order to show them what the Torah really stands for and not make a Chilul Hashem. I'll just tell you an interesting story that happened for my previous career. Before I started Smicha, I used to work in Wall Street in computers. And I had a boss. He's a very nice fellow. He was Jewish, not terribly from. He worked on Saturday. He ate bacon. He was not from the frumest people around. But I've never met anyone in my life, hardly, who has more respect for Torah and Talmid Chacham than he does. If he saw a frum Jew, if he saw someone who learned Torah, his face would light up. He would ask if there was anything to do to help. He just loved frum Jews. He loved Bnei Torah. So I always wondered, like, what made this fellow have become such a Moker Rabbanan if he was so personally not committed to Judaism? And once he told me the story. He said back a decade or two before then, he had an office mate back in the days, some of us are old enough to remember, when it cost a lot of money to call long distance. Remember, it cost money to call long distance? It cost 20, 30 cents a minute to call long distance. He had an office mate who was very machbid on chadash. How are you makban a chadash? Nowadays, they have chadash guides, everything in those days. He had to call the General Mills in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and ask them, based on the box code expiration date on the food, on the cereal, what was the manufacturing date, and then figure out if it was chadash or yashan. And he says he remembers, he learns, he knew. He didn't know a lot about Judaism, but he knew all about chadash from this old office mate of his. And very often during the lunch break, he would sit and he would call Minneapolis, because he couldn't call at home. The offices were closed. He had to call during business hours. He would call Minneapolis to check on the box code dates to make sure, didn't know that it wasn't the new wheat. He didn't know the word chadash. To make sure it wasn't the new wheat. And he says he remembers this fellow. Very often, many days, he would call Minnesota, check for the new wheat, and he would always take out his wallet, take out a calling card, and use the calling card, the prepaid calling card, to make the long-distance call, so that he shouldn't be stealing from his employer and making personal calls on the business phone. And that's how he remembers what it means to be a machbet a mitzvos, what it means to be a ben Torah, what it means to be a frum yid. And that's exactly what the Netziv's saying here. You know, this fellow, he didn't know anyone was watching. He was just trying to do the right thing. But someone's always watching. You know, if he would have made on the business cheshbon, I'm sure everyone made their personal calls. In those days, everyone, whenever they had a long-distance call, would wait till they got to work so they wouldn't have to pay personally. That was the minigo olam. Everyone did it. Jews, goyim, everyone. But if this fellow would have done it, checking for the chadash, he would have said, what does religion mean? Religion means stealing. This fellow showed him the truth. What does it mean to be a bentor, to be your shemayim? It means to be extra careful on other people's money and to hold yourself to the highest standards. And at a yom hazeh, 20, 30, 40 years later, this guy remembers what it means to be a frum yid from that one experience of the calling card from his old office mate. And that's the Netziv. Wherever we go, Vaknani, Vaprizi, Oz Yoshev Ba'aretz, someone's always watching, someone always forming an impression of Hashem and his people and his Torah based on our behavior. And we have to remember to behave in a way that brings covenant and shows the truth of what Torah really is, and not chas v'shalom compromise in a way that make our weaknesses, make people think that our weaknesses are attributed to the Torah.